I bid you turn again to the passage of Scripture earlier read in Hebrews chapter 1. The book of Hebrews has very pertinent application at this time of Christmas. Yes, dear friends, those who are arriving just, do find a seat. And more important, find a copy of the Bible. We have copies in the hymn racks, in case you do not have one. But the best is that we all have one, and we all read. So, please, turn to Hebrews chapter 1. To introduce today's topic, Christmas, of all the calendar of one year, the one day that is universally celebrated, more than any other day, is Christmas. In every country, regardless of religion, Christmas is remembered and celebrated. Why is this so? Today, the true meaning of Christmas is concealed behind bright lights, decorations, festivities, revelries, partying, and all kinds of activities that men have invented. In order to enjoy this season of vacation, the true meaning of Christmas is therefore unknown to the world. Oh dear friends, see beyond the bright lights. See beyond the merrymaking that is today the hallmark of prosperous Singapore. In some places, in Singapore, they celebrate tonight till tomorrow morning, non-stop. How wonderful, isn't it? And yet, dear friends, take away all these things and look. See the real meaning of Christmas. Why did Jesus come? To be born, God made flesh. Please understand, we have a wonderful God. In verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 1 says, God, at various times and different manners in time past, spoke to our fathers. Pause and ponder this verse. What does it tell you? We have a God who communicates. Isn't that wonderful? Does He communicate with you? Think of all those of our forefathers in my own family, in your family perhaps, even now today. Many are caught in the trap and the snare of idolatry, bowing and paying obeisance to images who neither speak with their mouths, nor see with their eyes, nor hear with their ears, hands that handle not, feet that move not, and yet mankind, intelligent Homo sapiens, bow down and kiss images and call them gods. Christmas is to remind us, here as we come, our God dwells in the heavens. Eternal Almighty Creator, the one who made all things and you and me, who has a great concern for us, a concern that caused Him to send His only begotten Son as part of His plan. Please understand, we worship a God who is alive, the Creator, most powerful, infinitely wise, and able to meet your need. What is your need today? Christmas is merrymaking. Everybody, whether real or unreal, true or untrue, appears to be happy. exchange of gifts. You send me gifts, I send you gifts. Everybody says, Happy Christmas. Is it so? Take away the facade, all these decorations and enjoyments and pleasures, and you're going to see humanity in sorrow, in distress, in greatest need today, more than any time past. We are a people in need. That is the story of Christmas. Every year we come, every year we are reminded, mankind is in trouble. Of course, outside these four walls, people don't believe. All today, man is supreme. True? Those of you who work computers, we live in the computer age, the press button age. Man is so powerful at the press of button, everything happens, including flying to the moon at the press of a button. Man is powerful? True? Not really, dear friends. Man is in trouble. For mankind today is under the cloud of the problem that existed ever since the creation, Genesis chapter 3. Alright? Genesis chapter 3. And man sinned, rebelled against God, and that moment God says, Adam, where are you? Man was afraid, hiding, because the curse of God had come upon man, and that curse persisted these 6,000 odd years, till now. Do we realize it? What is your biggest problem today, dear friends? He said, I have no problem. I said, you really have no problem? I have a problem. I'm growing old. Yes, that is a problem. But that problem comes to old and young alike. Newborn, face death. Newlywed, face death. Those preparing to wed, I've told you the story, they face death. Engaged to be married, found to have cancer. Why is it so? The old face the problem. The young face the problem. The strong and healthy also face the same problem. No one is exempt. So this book of Hebrews tells us the reality of life. We are not here to talk of sweet nothings. We're here to talk of realities. Things that you may face the moment you step out of this church. The moment you get home, you may receive the tidings somebody is dying. Possible. In your home, in my home, death is not welcome, but death comes when you do not want it. And then we all ask, why? Why me? Christmas is the answer. God had mercy, had pity, had compassion on humankind. And when the fullness of the time was come, please note carefully, God does nothing haphazardly. Nothing happens by chance. In the fullness of the time, God sent forth His Son. This is Galatians 4:4. Wonderful revelation, isn't it? That we have a God who cares, a God who plans, a God who is concerned about you, about me, who has your welfare at heart. And at the time of the first Christmas, so 2,000 years ago, when the fullness of time was come according to God's own timetable, Old Testament days, verse 1 says, He communicated at sundry times, various times, irregularly. But it was Old Testament. God communicated in those days through prophets, sent messages to those who would hear. Those messages told of what? God is coming to save us from our insoluble problem. The problem of death. And all its trappings. All those things that lead to death, that is, your sickness of every kind, accidents of every kind, warfare and strife of every kind, all those end up in death. God is concerned. When the fullness of the time was come, God sends forth His own Son. No, dear friends, your problem and my problem is the one common problem of all mankind. Death and the fear of death, and cowards die 10 times before their death because of the fear of death. Now, what is the solution? Let us look. Verse 1. You ready? Hebrews 1:1. This is a beautiful book, a lovely book, a wonderful book. God at sundry times, in diverse manners, spoke in time past to our fathers, those who went before us by prophets. All those prophets he read in the Old Testament received the message and they transmitted in writing. Do you read them? And that writing has one message. One. The Savior is coming. He will be born of a virgin. He will be born in Bethlehem. And His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. It's all predicted. Who did so? Verse 1. Prophets. So when you read this, understand, God spoke to our fathers. In these last days, chapter 1, verse 2, He has in these last days, what are the last days? We live in the last days. In the final chapter of history, please understand, history is the story of God's dealing with men. We are not free agents. We didn't come into this world by our own volition. We're not in charge of things, you know, understand? And in the fullness of time, according to God's plan, He sent in these last days the final chapter of human history. We are living in it right now. Please do not think it will be business as usual forever. Please, it will not. Now, we are in the last days. What has happened in these last days? God has spoken to us by His Son. He so loved us. And the Son so loved us, together with the Father, agreed with the Father. I will go to do your will, Father. And He did come. According to the Father's plan, the Son came to take on human flesh. It is a mystery, and yet it is true. Divine humiliation. Imagine, Almighty Creator, become a baby. Like the baby being carried there. It's a baby. Surrender His Godhead for the time being. Given up His glory and power in heaven to come down to hide in the virgin's womb for 9 months and to grow into a baby without human father, but God did it. This is the story of Christmas. Then at the end of 9 months to come out as a baby Jesus and to go through the process of growth and development under a human father, adopted, and a real mother in a carpenter's shop. We cannot understand all this, but there is the Creator, for by Him all things were created. Who is it? Jesus. He made all things, but He became a baby. Without Him was not anything created that was created. He made all things, and now He becomes a baby. Helpless, having to run with mother, flee to Egypt because of Herod. All these things happened to Him. Why? You ask yourself, that is the story of Christmas. All because when the fullness of the time was come, God, who had promised a Savior, says, now my Son will come down and be the Savior of men of faith, men who will believe, men who will bow down and say, I need your help, dear Heavenly Father. I want to be saved. To be the Savior of you and me, who come to Him and say, Lord, I am undone. I am helpless. I face death. The threat of death, the fear of death hovers over me. I'm in bondage. This is what we're going to read in a moment. And looking to Jesus, receiving Him, that is lifted. Christmas means exactly that. Good news. What good news? Shares going up. That's not good news because shares will come down. Things are buoyant. Good news? No, dear friends. Do not rejoice because we are today in Singapore in a very good situation. Politically stable, economically buoyant, everything's going up. Wonderful. Health-wise, everybody's living better and longer, true? Yes or no? Not really. Don't look to doctors. Don't think we are in the healthy era. Really? No. Let me tell you as a doctor. We doctors only make your life a little more comfortable. And you die more slowly. That's all. Absolutely. My patients always say to me, you doctors are alright. I said, doctors are not alright. We go through the same fear and the same process of death as you. And you come to us, we make your money. That's about all. We make you better, and you feel better, and get richer. That's it. But the whole process is prolonged, the process of dying. In the end, you still have to die. Christmas is the freeing of masses of people who are willing to come to Jesus and say, look, Lord Jesus, I recognize not doctors, but you are the doctor. You are the heavenly physician. I have a sickness of my soul called sin. I need you to take away that sin. That is Christmas. That's a real message of Christmas. To all who are under bondage of the fear of death, I ask any of you here not afraid of death. Not afraid. Full of courage. Dare to do anything. Not afraid. No, dear friends. At heart, all of us are cowards when it comes to death. Except until you come to the Lord of Christmas and you have received Jesus into your heart, into your life, and He rules in your life and directs your pathway, you have fear of death. Fear of death. But Jesus takes away the death. Now, let's see. Verse 3. He being the brightness of God's glory. Who is it? Jesus, the express image of His person, upholding all things by the word of His power, meaning to say, He is the Creator. Who was the Creator? The babe in the manger is the Creator, but come in disguise, you may call it, as a baby. By Himself purged our sins. That is the real meaning of Jesus coming, dear friends. Why did He come? Verse 3, the last part. He Himself purged our sins. And having done that perfectly on the cross, He said, it is finished. The great transaction was done. When Jesus hung on the cross, your sins, my sins, all the sins of all mankind from the beginning till the end of time were laid on one man. Jesus, Son of God. He took it upon Himself. He purged us from our sin. There is no way any of us can wash away our own sins or purge them away. No way. Why? Because We are sinners already, condemned under the curse of God, condemned. We have no strength, the Bible tells us. No strength, you cannot help yourself. It's like a man drowning in the sea. What do you do to him? He needs a life belt. Yes, he's dying already. So that's it. But Jesus came, last part of verse 3. He purged our sins, took them on himself, and he carried that to the death. He died for us. In the dying, he bled his blood for us. And without shedding of blood, we all know this, life is in the blood. If you lose your blood, you lose your life. And there is the representation. Life is in the blood, and Jesus bled the blood. Now, his blood is different from yours and mine. Very different. Because his blood is the blood of God. Divine blood. Sinless and pure. Holy. Powerful, because it has God's divine life in that blood. And that blood is able to wash away all sins. Now read this last part. He by himself, Jesus Christ, purged our sins, washed them away. When you believe in him and say, Jesus, Lord, I want my sins washed away. Here it is. He by himself purged your sins. Then having accomplished that, he says, it is finished. The great transaction between God and man, God and the Son of Man, was completed. He sat down. Meaning to say, job accomplished. Mission accomplished. Perfectly. Because God himself bled for us, died for us, in order that our sins may be taken away. Then Christmas becomes meaningful because the fear of death is taken away. Tonight, sleep peacefully without any worries. Never worry. I had a friend, a doctor, when he was really quite sick and his death was only a few weeks ago. He told his family, don't switch off any lights at night. Keep all the lights on. I want to see things bright. Because you're so worried about dying. If the lights go off and I close my eyes, I may go. I don't want to go. I don't want to die. I say, dear friends, you can switch all the lights on all the time. Doesn't help you at all. What you need is to have your sins purged, cleansed. Are your sins washed away? You say, what sins? When you don't know you have sinned, that is the greatest sin, dear friend. We all have sinned. Who says it? God's word says so. God made us. God knows about us. He knows us through and through. And he says, all have sinned. You ever hated someone? You ever said something wrong? Oh, my friends. Now, let's see. Turn over to chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Verse 9. The glorious gospel message is repeated 3 times. And you will not forget what Christmas means after today. Verse 9. We see Jesus, made a little lower than the angels, born a baby in Bethlehem, right? He's lower than the angels, true, yes. However, he was God Almighty, humble himself for us. Read on, please. What for? He was made a little lower than the angels to be a baby for the suffering of death. But now, because he has accomplished that on the cross, the sinless dying for the sinful, God dying for man, he is now crowned with glory and honor that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for you and for me. And he is crowned because he rose from the dead. Had Jesus died and was buried and rotted away, that sentence will not be here, dear friends. Praise the Lord. Christmas does not end in Bethlehem. Christmas leads us to Calvary. There Jesus was crucified and leads us onto the garden tomb where he was buried. And the third day they came to look at him, to embalm him, to do something to his body. And they found Jesus Christ risen from the dead. Amazing. The only person who ever rose from the dead, never to die again. Never to die again. This is the victory. And when we come to Jesus, you have a part in that victory. Verse 14 now, please. Our time is running. For as much then as the children, that is you, you believe in him, you are included. Now follow, please. Verse 14. For as much then as you, a child of God, a partaker of flesh and blood, he, Jesus Christ, also likewise took part of flesh and blood to identify himself with us, to be one of us, to take our place, to go as your substitute to the cross, to take your place and to die your death. That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. That is the devil, who is the problem causer, who is the one who disturbs our peace, who is the one who causes you to have sleepless night worrying about death. Who is he? The devil. One time, a very powerful angel being created by God, so exalted on high, until he thought he was above God, and God cast him down to become Satan the devil. And all his one purpose is to deceive and to tell lies that those who believe in him, they will fall into sin, become estranged, and have their life forfeited. This is the purpose of devil. On the cross, our Lord Jesus Christ, by obeying the Father and taking away our sin, shedding his blood, destroyed the devil. Where does it say so? Verse 14, right? Read again. For as much then as you and I are partakers of flesh, Jesus Christ also identified himself with us, took part of the same blood and flesh, that through death he has destroyed him that had the power of death. Verse 15, read on. This is the conclusion. And deliver us. Deliver you, my friends. If you have never received Jesus Christ, make it now. The offer is open. It costs you nothing. It costs you only one thing. Your faith and belief and trust in him. When you recognize that you are helpless without Jesus, you have help coming to you right away. This is where we read it. Verse 15. He will deliver you, who through death, fear of death, were all your lifetime subject to bondage, afraid of death, afraid of dying, afraid of that inevitable, irresistible event of death. What will happen? If I should go, what will happen to my wife? If my wife should go, what will happen to me? All my family, all my children, all my friends, all my business. So many uncertainties. If I should die, what will happen? Do you know? What is your solution? What is the answer to this problem? Here it is. Today, make Christmas the day of greatest hope. The best news I can give to you. Verse 15. He delivers them who through fear of death all their lifetime were subject to bondage, afraid to die. But Jesus has taken away that death for you. And in him, you know, absent from this body is present with the Lord. There is no other way. This is the promise. 2 Corinthians 5:8. Yeah. 2 Corinthians 5:8. Absent from this body, breathe your last, instantly you are with God, the Savior, Jesus Christ, waiting for you. This is the meaning of Christmas, dear friends. let us thank Him, for He was willing that He was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him, that He exchanges, takes away all our sins and gives us righteousness, approval, acceptance with God, freedom from the bondage of the fear of death forever and ever. Now, looking unto Jesus, waiting for Him, for His coming for you and me, that's my message tonight. Will you come? Yes, He who came, He who died, rose from the dead, ascended to heaven, said, I will come again. Behold, I come quickly. Are you ready for that? Oh, we have a glorious hope. Christmas does not mean all these bright things, celebration, enjoyments. No, dear friends. Christmas says Jesus comes to give you freedom from the fear of death and a place in heaven assured for you and me. Let us pray. Let me say to someone here who has never come to Jesus to do so today. Make this 24th of December 2006 a day of decision, a day of joy, a day of hope, a day of celebration. For the moment you say yes to Jesus, He comes in to be your Lord and your Master. He gives you a new hope, new life. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the first Christmas, when our Lord Jesus left heaven's glory for dismal earth, born in a manger to grow up as a man, to go to the cross for our sin's sake, to take away that sin and to be buried and to rise again third day victorious over death. And to us who are in the bondage of the fear of death, He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he should die, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Hear this our prayer. Grant us the complete assurance in Jesus Christ.